ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 17, chapter entitled Description of the Varnashrama System, text 34.
Saucham Achmanam Snanam Sandhyopastir Mamarchanam Tirtha सेवा जपो स्पृश्या भक्ष्या संभाष्य वर्जनम् शौचम् आचनमं स्नानम् मनम् संध्योपास्तिर्ममार्चनम् तीर्थ सेवा जपो स्पृश्या भक्ष्या संभाष्य वर्जनम् शौचम् आचमनम् स्नानम् संध्योपास्तिर्ममार्चनम् तीर्थ सेवा जपो स्पृश्या भक्ष्या संभाष्य वर्जनम् शौचम् आचमनम् स्नानम् संध्योपास्तिर्ममार्चनम् तीर्थसेवा जपो स्पृश्या भक्ष्या संभाष्य वर्जनम् शौचम् आचमनम् स्नानम् संध्योपास्तिर्ममार्चनम् भक्ष्या संभाष्य वर्जनम् शौचम् आचमनम् स्नानम् संध्योपास्तिर्ममार्चनम् तीर्थसेवा जपो स्पृश्या भक्ष्या संभाष्य वर्जनम् शौचमाचमनम् स्नानम् संध्योपास्तिर्ममार्चनम् तीर्थसेवा जपो स्पृश्या भक्ष्या संभाष्य वर्जनम् माताजी शौचम् क्लेनलीनेस आचमनम् प्यूरिफाइंग द हैंड्स विथ वाटर स्नानम् बेदिंग संध्या एट सनराइज नून एंड सनसेट उपास्थित रिलीजियस सर्विसेस मम ऑफ मी अर्चनम वर्शिप तीर्थ सेवा गोइंग टू होली प्लेसेस जप चैंटिंग द होली नेम्स ऑफ द लॉर्ड अस्पृश्य विच आर अनटचेबल अभक्ष्य अनईटेबल असंभाष्य और नॉट टू बी डिस्कस्ड वर्जनम अवॉइडेंस ऑफ थिंग्स दिस वर्स डजंट हैव अ परपोर्ट सो विल रीड द नेक्स्ट टू वर्सेस ऑल्सो सर्वाश्रम प्रयुक्तोयम् नियमम कुलनंदन मद्भाव सर्वभूतेषु मनोवाग काय संयमः एवं बृहद व्रतो धारो ब्रह्मणो अग्निर इव ज्वल मद्भक्तस तीव्र तपसा दग्ध कर्माशयो मलः ट्रांसलेशन बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन माय डियर उद्धव जनरल क्लेनलीनेस वॉशिंग द हैंड्स bathing, performing religious services at sunrise, noon and sunset, worshipping me, visiting holy places, chanting japa, avoiding that which is untouchable, uneatable or not to be discussed, and remembering my existence within all living entities as the super soul. These principles should be followed by all members of the society through regulation of the mind, words and body. A Brahmana observing the great vow of celibacy becomes brilliant like fire and by serious austerity burns to ashes the propensity to perform material activities. Free from the contamination of material desire, he becomes my devotee. Purport. The process of liberation is described in this verse. Once when Srila Prabhupada was traveling by airplane, a fellow passenger, who happened to be a priest, told him that he had seen his disciples and found them bright-faced. Srila Prabhupada was fond of relating this incident. The spirit soul is more brilliant than the sun. And as the process of spiritual purification gradually takes place, even the external form of a devotee becomes effulgent. The glowing fire of spiritual knowledge burns to ashes the mentality of sense gratification, and one naturally becomes austere and disinterested in mundane enjoyment. Among all austerities, the best is celibacy, by which the shackles of material life immediately becomes slackened. One who is amala, free from material desire, is known as a pure devotee of the Lord. On the paths of jnana, karma and yoga, the mind retains the concept of personal interest. But on the path of pure devotion, the mind is trained to see only the interests of the personality of Godhead. Thus, a pure devotee of the Lord is amala, completely pure. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. This beautiful section from the 11th canto we are discussing today. I'll read the translation once again. A Brahmana observing the great vow of celibacy becomes brilliant like fire and by serious austerity burns to ashes the propensity to perform material activities. Free from the contamination of material desire, he becomes my devotee. So this particular section of the Bhagavatam, we are seeing that how Krishna is describing the detailed process of worshipping Him. It's not just the principles that are being enunciated in the Bhagavatam, but Bhagavatam also goes down to a great detail of basic details. Like in the previous verse we saw the practices of saucham, cleanliness, purifying the hands of water, worshipping, chanting the holy names of the Lord. So these are very down-to-earth practical activities that are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which kind of prevents the person from speculating anything on his own. So, you know, a practitioner, a sadhaka, is not expected to just translate the principles that have been mentioned in the Bhagavatam. But Bhagavatam also draws down those principles to these ground activities. And specifically, the practice of austerity is being highlighted in these verses. Many times in different texts, spiritual text, we keep on hearing that, you know, Krishna cannot be attained by austerity, Krishna cannot be attained by mere practices of cleanliness or charity or just by following this and that. So sometimes a person may start to undermine the importance of these principles of cleanliness, these principles of celibacy, these principles of austerity. And therefore Krishna himself is emphasizing these principles out here. And specifically, we see in innumerable instances how this practice of austerity precedes something beneficial. We see even demons like Hiranyakashipu, when he wanted to gain control of the entire universe, he also first does austerities, he also first does penances. And because he knows the power of austerities, that these austerities will give me the required power to draw the attention of Lord Brahma so that I can ask for the benedictions. There is a beautiful episode from the fourth canto which I would like to focus on today, in which the same principle of austerity is highlighted. So this is from the 24th chapter in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the pastime of Maharaj Prachini Bharishat is narrated. So it is explained that how Maharaj Prachini Bharishat, he gets married to Queen Shatadruti, and they have 10 children by the name of Prachetas. And Maharaj Prachini Bharishat, he instructs the Prachetas to go and create progeny, to populate the entire world. And for doing so, the Prachetas, first of all, they want to have a very elongated period of austerity. So, in this particular section, when Maitreya Muni is narrating these incidents to Vidura, Vidura puts a pause there. And he questions Maitreya Muni that, please explain this section where Prachetas are instructed by Maharaj Prachini Bharishat and they go to perform their austerities. And what is the benefit that they get from the austerities that they perform for 10,000 years? So then Maitreya Rishi, he describes this whole pastime in great detail. So it is very interesting to note here that how when devotees, they hear something concerning the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are very attentive as to what will exactly benefit them. Here, we are reading from these verses in the purport today, we are hearing about the principle of austerity and cleanliness and principle of celibacy. And here Vidura, he is seeing that here are some people who will be actually doing it now. So how did they do it and what benefit did they get? So Vidura wants to focus on that so that he also improves in, you know, that particular area of his practice. So this eagerness and inquisitiveness is very much appreciated by Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami goes on to describe that how when the Prachetas, they leave their home. Now typically, the principle of meditation or austerity is done in a secluded manner. But here, prachetas, they are wanting to do it together. So together, all the 10 prachetas, they walk out of the house and they are in search of a proper place where they can do their austerities. And guess what? They select a place at the bottom of the sea. Now, Bhagavatam describes that this was not a typical ocean. This was not any other ocean in this world. This was actually a lake which was beside a big ocean. And the chapter describes that how this lake, it was a very calm and peaceful lake. Because the ocean has a lot of waves. It has a lot of turbulence. But this particular lake was as calm as the mind of a liberated soul. And the prachetas, they see, it is also described that the aquatics in that lake, they were also very calm. And Bhagavatam gives the analogy that just like the disciples of a very elevated soul, they are also very sober. So similarly, the lake was also calm, and the people who had taken, the living entities who had taken shelter of the calm lake, they were also very much pacified and peaceful. So Bhagavatam gives that very interesting analogy. And then there are very beautiful flowers. Different kinds of lotuses are described, different colored lotuses with different kinds of fragrances. And different types of lotuses which bloom at different times of the day, that those flowers are described. And how the birds who were there were of a superior nature. They were not, of course, the Bhagavatam doesn't mention that they were crows and sparrows like that. But then they were superior birds like cranes and swans. And the trees in that particular surrounding were very happy. Now, why were the trees happy? That is explained that because there were so many bumblebees, so whenever the bumblebees would come to the trees to take nectar from the trees, that would make the trees very happy. And therefore, the whole place was a place that was full of variety and a place that was full of all these different types of fragrances and music. And also these bumblebees were singing. And along with the singing of the bumblebees, the prachetas also heard very sweet vibrations, very, very sweet musical vibrations of different kinds of drums and kettle drums. So, just imagine, you want to do a practice, some spiritual practice, and all the conditions are completely favorable, just like here. No distraction, everything to peace, to pacify the mind. In today's day and age, people struggle a lot to have some peace of mind. There is an app called Calm. What is there in that app? You can select different types of music, the falling of, rainfall. And, just hearing that music, you will feel calm. The chirping of birds and a mixture of, flowing of water and chirping of birds, so on and so forth. So, unfortunately, today in Kali Yuga, people have to resort to such artificial means to pacify the mind so that they can continue their spiritual practice. But situation that is described in Srimad Bhagavatam was the most congenial situation for anyone to undergo austerities. And further going ahead, the Bhagavatam describes that where these musical vibrations of drums and kettle drums coming about. So that was to announce the arrival of Lord Shiva. Today also happens to be Shivratri as per the Vaishnava calendar. And Lord Shiva, when he came to know that here are the prachetas who have embarked upon a very noble mission to perform their austerities to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that they can cater to their responsibilities in a more perfect manner. Being pleased by the Prachetas, Lord Shiva himself comes out emerging from the water with his associates. And the Bhagavatam also describes that this was the kind of place which Lord Shiva was actually residing in. This was actually the place in the Himalayas which was the abode of Lord Shiva. And Srila Prabhupada doesn't fail to mention here that how many times, you know, some followers of Lord Shiva, they advocate the principle of monism. They advocate the principle of impersonalism without any variety. But we see here from the descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam, the kind of variety that was present, you know, where Lord Shiva was residing. So definitely Lord Shiva loves a lot of variety. There were variety in terms of the vegetation that was there. There were variety in the terms of the birds and, you know, all those bees and everything that was there. And the different kinds of sweet vibrations of the swans and the flow of water that were there. And therefore, when the impersonalists claim that, you know, there shouldn't be variety, here Srimad Bhagavatam actually refutes that particular fact. And I'll just read out this particular section that how Prachetas, they were very fortunate to see Lord Shiva, the chief of the demigods. So this is the 26th verse of 24th chapter. And the Prachetas describe the appearance of Lord Shiva. What is the appearance of Lord Shiva? It says, his bodily luster was just like molten gold. His throat was bluish, Neelakantha. And he had three eyes which looked very mercifully upon his devotees. He was accompanied by many musicians who were glorifying him. As soon as the Prachetas saw Lord Shiva, they immediately offered their obeisances in great amazement and fell down at the lotus feet of the Lord. So the word, Prabhupada writes here, the word Vibhudhanugai indicates that Lord Shiva is always accompanied by the denizens of higher planets known as Gandharvas and Kinnaras. They were very expert in musical science and Lord Shiva is worshipped by them constantly. And in pictures, Lord Shiva is generally painted white. But here we find that the color of his skin is not exactly white, but like molten gold or a glowing yellowish color. And because Lord Shiva is always very, very merciful, his name is Ashutosh. Amongst all demigods, Lord Shiva can be pacified even by the lowest class of men who need only offer him obeisances and leaves of a bale tree. Thus his name is Ashutosh, which means that he is pleased very quickly. Generally, those who are very fond of material prosperity approach Lord Shiva for such benedictions. And the Lord, being very merciful, quickly awards all these blessings the devotee asks of him. And sometimes, even the demons, they take advantage of this merciful nature of Lord Shiva. There is a pastime that how one time there was this demon, Vrikasur, who wanted, you know, this benediction to have supremacy over everyone. And he came to know that Lord Shiva is very merciful and he grants benedictions very easily. So he goes to Lord Shiva and he praises Lord Shiva in very beautiful poetry. Being pleased with Vrikasur, Lord Shiva asks him, tell me, what do you want? So Vrikasur, he asks this benediction from Lord Shiva that, please give me this boon that anyone whom I touch will immediately, his head will crack to pieces. And Lord Shiva, because that is his nature, that anyone who has pleased him, he awarded this benediction to him. But being a demon as he was, Vrikasur, you know, foolishly, he wanted to try the benediction of Lord Shiva on Lord Shiva himself. And that is how, you know, he ran after Lord Shiva to touch his head. And here is Lord Shiva running with Vrikasur following behind him. And, you know, going through all these different places in the universe, finally they come to Lord Vishnu. And Vishnu comes in front of Vrikasur and he asks him, hold on, what is the matter? Please tell me. So no, I want to, you know, experiment whether the boon of Lord Shiva is actually valid or not. Does it have any effect or not? And then Vishnu, he just kind of downplays the whole thing. That actually Lord Shiva, he is not such a big benedictor, and he just keeps giving, you know, boons like this. And I don't think his benediction has a lot of power. He has just fooled you. So Vrikasura takes it to his heart, and Vishnu says, yes, of course. I mean, I'm pretty much convinced that, you know, what he has told is not going to have any effect. And you can just try and touch your head. Nothing is going to happen. And sure enough, Vrikasura comes in the sway of the words of Lord Vishnu, and the moment he touches his head cracks to pieces. So that is how it is explained that, yes, sometimes even Lord Shiva is put into difficulties because of his own merciful nature. But the devotees of Lord Vishnu, however, have no such desire for such material benediction. And therefore, Lord Vishnu does not give his devotees benedictions which would cause disturbance to this world. So yes, when Lord Shiva, he meets the Prachetas, one of the adjectives that is used in the Srimad Bhagavatam here is described as Dharma Vatsala. How Lord Shiva is the protector of those who are followers of religious principles. Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu is described as Bhakta Vatsala, or the protector of his devotees. But Lord Shiva is described as Dharma Vatsala, those who are protectors of the religious principles. And it is explained that Lord Shiva himself, because he knew the desires of the Prachetas, he knew that these Prachetas, they are the followers of Dharma, they are the followers of religious principles. And Lord Shiva himself, he comes before them and gives them his association. So Srila Prabhupada describes that how should a devotee approach Lord Shiva? These Prachetas being very exalted devotees, here is an interaction between devotee and Lord Shiva himself. And Prabhupada is mentioning that the devotees are most dear to Lord Shiva and Lord Shiva is most dear to him. In fact, even Lord Shiva is the best of the devotees. Vaishnavanam yatha sambhu. And a devotee prays to Lord Shiva to achieve the favor of Lord Krishna and not achieve the favor of material benefits. And here Lord Shiva, he reciprocates to the prayers of the Prachetas, and he blesses them with a mantra, and he says that this is the best prayer for anyone who is aspiring to attain the highest goal. So Srila Prabhupada here in the purport in this particular section, he highlights that Lord Shiva did not just give the mantra to the Prachetas. Lord Shiva actually recited those mantras himself, and he himself, he prays these verses, some 30-34 verses. Lord Shiva is himself praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that the Prachetas can learn how to exactly approach and pray to the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada mentions that this is how a devotee, a spiritual master, actually doesn't just instruct. A spiritual master also demonstrates by his own example, and he teaches by his example what the disciple is supposed to emulate in his or her own life. And therefore here Lord Shiva, you know, he prays to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And specifically there are these six sections that have been described, which form the part of the Rudra Gita, the Gita sung by Lord Shiva. How Lord Shiva is approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the very first section that is described is from verse 33 to 68. Lord Shiva is glorifying the Supreme Lord. So the very first thing that Lord Shiva does is glorification. And Prabhupada begins that purport by mentioning that how a prayer should always begin by glorification. Glorification of the master. A prayer shouldn't begin by, you know, just asking or putting down one's own demands. Knowing that anyways he is powerful, anyways he is very exalted, and therefore let's, you know, directly talk business. I am here to get something from you, and please award me this thing. No, Lord Shiva begins his prayer by glorifying, and he expresses his desire that, you know, I always want to be a devotee, and I don't want to merge into the Supreme Brahman like the impersonalists. Now, many times in this entire Rudra Gita, this expression by Lord Shiva comes, that how he doesn't want to merge into the Supreme, how he doesn't like oneness, and he loves variety and everything. And every time something is mentioned by Lord Shiva here, Prabhupada gives it a very, you know, elaborate purport, that how the propagation of the impersonalists is not true. Just look at what Lord Shiva is mentioning here, how he loves a very rich variety in his own life, and how he wants to be a devotee of the Lord and not merge into the Supreme. So Lord Shiva addresses the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Rishikesha, and he wants and he pleads that, please engage me in your own service. In fact, he says, he addresses the Lord as Rishikesh Indriya Atmane, that please just don't engage my senses, my working senses. Please also engage my Atmana, my mind, the sixth sense. And please help me so that I become purified, my mind becomes purified of the material contamination, and I keep my mind engaged in your service. Further, going ahead, Lord Shiva asks for strength to become free of the obligations so that he can perfectly engage in the service of the Lord. And it is described that how there are these six types of obligations which every living entity has. Devarshi, Bhutap, Tanridam, Pitrinam. Every living entity is obligated to the demigods, to the great sages, to the ordinary living beings, to the family members, the relatives, to his friends, and in general the human society, the mankind. And Lord Shiva is mentioning that, please bless me that I can become free of these obligations and I can engage one-pointedly in your service. And he addresses the Supreme Lord. He describes one of the qualities of the Supreme Lord is how the Supreme Lord has this tripti daya, how the Supreme Lord is perfectly capable of satisfying and satiating all the desires of the living entities. And specifically here, Lord Shiva is mentioning, I mean, it's very remarkable that how Lord Shiva is specifically saying, what does he mean by tripti daya? Lord Shiva says, let me be only satisfied by honoring your prasad. Just by having your prasad, may I be satisfied. So therefore, this is the quality of tripti daya that Lord Shiva is explaining. And he is mentioning that he is praying to the universal body of the Supreme Lord. Because every living entity, every living being in this creation is actually a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The universal form of the Lord contains essentially all the living beings in itself. And therefore, when Lord Shiva is praying to the universal body, he mentions that it is not just I who want to be engaged in your service. I wish and pray that all the living entities in the entire creation, may they get also engaged in your service. And by simply by chanting the Shabda Brahman, may we all understand everything that needs to be understood. And Prabhupada explains in the purport what this Shabda Brahma is actually. And Prabhupada says that this Shabda Brahma is the knowledge that is explained by the Lord about himself, about the entire creation, and the process by which the devotees of the Lord, the living entities, can actually attain his lotus feet. And Prabhupada mentions that in essence, this Shabda Brahma refers to the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Lord Shiva is wishing that simply by chanting this Shabda Brahma, may we understand everything that needs to be understood in the entire material and spiritual world. And Lord Shiva also mentions that how he further on goes to glorify the nature of Krishna, the unlimited nature of Krishna, and how no one can know Krishna without being favored by him. So there is a beautiful section that Prabhupada quotes from the Mahabharata. Just read that particular verse. Yeah. So when Lord Shiva is explaining about the principles of Sanatana Dharma, Prabhupada explains that the real dharma for a living entity is to surrender unto the Supreme Lord. And in the Mahabharata, it is said, Ye cha veda vido vipra, ye cha adhyatma vido janah, te vadanti mahatmanam krishnam dharmam sanatanam. The purport is that one who has studied the Vedas perfectly, one who is a perfect vipra or knower of the Vedas, who knows what spiritual life actually is, speaks about Krishna, the Supreme Person, as one's Sanatana Dharma. Lord Shiva therefore teaches us the principles of this Sanatana Dharma. So yeah, first thing that the Lord, which Lord Shiva is highlighting in his Rudra Gita, is the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then further on, he explains about the beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How beautiful Lord, the Supreme Personality actually is. And he is mentioning that this beauty, this form of the Lord, this Rupam is Priyatamam Swanam. This form of the Lord is very dear to his devotee. So let me have darshan of that form of yours which is very pleasing to his devotees, to your devotees. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he appears in a variety of forms for a variety of purposes in this entire creation. But of all the forms, there are very select forms which are very pleasing to the devotees. And again, once again, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he highlights that a devotee doesn't want to just get into the Supreme Brahman and, you know, become formless and, you know, just relish in oneness like that. No. A devotee actually relishes the form of the Lord as Lakshmi Narayan, as Radha Krishna, as the beautiful form of the Lord. And in a good 10 verses, Lord Shiva, he explains the beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And forgive me, but I couldn't resist but, you know, narrate all these beautiful, very, very beautiful series of verses. So yes, Lord Shiva is explaining, My dear Lord, your two lotus feet are so beautiful that they appear like two blossoming petals of the lotus flower which grows during the autumn season. Indeed, the nails of your lotus feet emanate such a great effulgence that they immediately dissipate the darkness on the heart of a conditioned soul. Kindly show me that form which dissipates the darkness from the hearts of your devotees. You are the supreme spiritual master for everyone. Yeah. Yeah. Simply by the expansion of your eyebrows, invisible time personified can immediately vanquish the entire universe. However, the formidable time does not approach your devotee who has completely taken shelter of your lotus feet. So this is about the eyebrows that he is describing. So anyways, and he also describes the importance of the meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord. And how to attain Krishna, how one can attain Krishna only by pure devotional service. And Prabhupada mentions that, he quotes from the Brahma Samhita, Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto, that even for someone who has gone through all the Vedas and gone through all the literatures, it is very difficult to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But someone who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord, it is very easy for him to approach him. And Prabhupada also quotes from the Bhagavad Gita 1855, where he says, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tattvatah, tato mam tattvato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So this is about the attainment of Krishna. Further ahead, Lord Shiva he starts glorifying the devotees of the Lord. How glorious are the devotees of the Lord, that such devotees, they are not approached by the formidable nature of time. The nature of time in this material world is that it is able to vanquish everything. But for a devotee who has taken shelter of the Lord, he goes beyond, you know, this effect of time. And how all effects of work by others, the jnanis and karmis, they are destroyed by time. But the endeavors that are executed by the devotee of the Lord, they are not finished by the power of time. So this is beautiful verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Neha abhikramanashosti pratyavayona vidyate swalpam apiyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. That there is no loss or diminution on this path. And any endeavor, any small piece of endeavor made on this process of Krishna consciousness can save one from the greatest of danger. And he also mentions that the devotees of the Lord, they are not under the jurisdiction of Yamaraj. Now, having glorified the devotees, Lord Shiva further explains the glory of associating with the devotees of the Lord. That how just by associating with the devotees of the Lord, one loses all one's taste for jnana, you know, excelling in jnana and karma. Just excelling in the process of fruitive activities and excelling in the process of jnana or knowing supreme by the study of empirical study of these scriptures. And Prabhupada quotes Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati. He mentions, Kaivalyam narakayate tridashapura akasha pushpayate. That even the platform of Kaivalya, even the platform of this oneness is like, is considered to be like naraka, is considered to be like hell for a devotee of the Lord. Tridashapura akasha pushpayate. You know, these aspirations which the karmis and jnanis, they have within their minds, for a devotee, they are like flowers in the sky. Now, this is a kind of a metaphor. Actually, there is nothing like flowers in the sky. There are no flowers in the sky. But, you know, this metaphor is used by Prabodhananda Saraswati to explain that how within the heart of a devotee, such desires of merging and material fruitive activities are not present in the heart of a devotee. And the devotees of the Lord, anyone who associates with the devotees of the Lord, they lose any interest in getting benedictions from the demigods. That is the power of associating with the devotees. I mean, even for all of us, we have had that experience that before we came in touch with devotees, every one of us, each one of us had our own desires to plead and, you know, ask from the demigods. But then upon associating with the lords, all interest in the benedictions of demigods, they are vanquished. And therefore, Lord Shiva, he is begging for the association of the devotees. Now, it is very remarkable that Lord Shiva here, by way of glorifying the Supreme Lord, he is present before the Prachetas. And he is deeply immersed in praying to the Supreme Lord. And in the course of his prayer, he is, you know, expressing his heart that he wants to have this association of the devotees. So someone may question that, you know, Lord Shiva has appeared as a spiritual master before the Prachetas, and he is supposed to teach the Prachetas how to approach the Supreme Lord. And then looks like Lord Shiva has got absorbed in himself and, you know, he is kind of, you know, praying for the association of the devotees. And so Prabhupada clarifies this particular point. And he says that just like a teacher goes through the same exercise for the purpose of the student to understand. It is not that the teacher is not, you know, doesn't know that lesson. So it is not that Lord Shiva is not very much desirous of associating with the devotees of the Lord. In fact, the very action of Lord Shiva here goes to show that how Lord Shiva himself was very eager to associate with the Prachetas, that he comes on his own. He emerges from the waters on his own and gives his association to the Prachetas. So therefore, One shouldn't take this desire of Lord Shiva to beg for the association of devotees to be wrong. And Lord Shiva describes the three characteristics of a devotee. How a devotee is completely purified by worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. And not just that he is completely purified, he is also merciful upon the conditioned souls. And Prabhupada gives the example of the Ganges. That just like the Ganges is pure in itself. It is one of the supremest pure entity that exists in the entire creation. Just because she has washed the lotus feet of the Lord. So having taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, when the Ganges comes into this creation, this universe, it has the potency to purify everyone. And therefore, not just Ganges is all pure, it is also merciful on the conditioned souls. And similarly, a devotee is also merciful on all the conditioned souls. And the third quality that Lord Shiva describes, that a devotee is not bewildered by the external energy of the Lord. And the purport mentions that how a devotee, because he is in constant touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he loses his desire slowly and gradually to associate and entertain the influence of the material energy on him. And Prabhupada quotes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who mentions that sadhu sanga, sarva shastra kohe, lava matra sadhu sanga, sarva siddhi hoye. So here again, prachetas, they are having a very small association with Lord Shiva. But just by this small period of association, they actually get a proper guidance as to what is the exact kind of austerity. What are they supposed to do during their austerity? It is not that they just land up in the bottom of this body of water and what do they do after, you know, being there. So here the prachetas are guided by Lord Shiva and they are helped in their process of meditation. And finally, Lord Shiva ends his Rudra Gita by mentioning that how ultimately one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by all his mind, action and words. And he mentions that even my father and spiritual master, Lord Brahma, he is always absorbed in worshipping the Supreme Lord. And therefore, who in this entire creation would be foolish enough that he can devise out some other means for his welfare other than worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada mentions that who is a real Pandit? A real Pandit is not that one who just knows the tenets of the Vedas, one who just knows the injunctions of the scriptures, but a real Pandit is one who actually applies those instructions and ultimately worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And finally, Lord Shiva, having ended his prayer to the Supreme Lord, he directly instructs the prachetas then that he says that now you should execute your occupational duties as a king with a pure heart. Purify your heart through these practices of austerity and cleanliness and all the different things that are mentioned here. And with that pure heart, do your duty as kings in a very exemplary manner. And chant this mantra, fixing your mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. And this is what will bring you good fortune. Engaging in the service of the Lord by doing their occupational duties as a king, remembering the lotus feet of the Lord and chanting this mantra that is given by Lord Shiva. And he says that this is what will bring you good fortune and this is what will please the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And going forward, prachetas thus chant these prayers to the Supreme Lord and they become completely free of ignorance. And Srila Prabhupada, he ends this entire chapter of Rudra Gita, where Lord Shiva is instructing the prachetas, with a very beautiful line. And he says that, Prabhupada, just the last verse, just one line purport, Prabhupada writes. And he says, if we persistently engage in devotional service, certainly all our desires will be fulfilled in due course of time. So this is the essence that Prabhupada is kind of drawing to after this whole episode. So just thought of discussing some and hearing what Lord Shiva has to instruct all of us, and so that we may also understand all these principles and follow these principles properly in our own practices, and thus advance towards the lotus feet of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Jai Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. His divine grace Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.